Welcome to Future of Flushing. I'm Vito Calisi. With me is Jonathan Barron. And we don't have too much to talk about tonight because there was only two games because you all guessed it, weather. That's the storyline of this season. That's the storyline of last season. But tonight was the Dom Hamill show. Dom Hamill went out shoved with 10 strikeouts through five innings. And John, how happy are you to see our guy just showing up and on SNY?
Well, I like that you got right into it. You didn't let me say what I was going to say, which is this is going to be no more than 12 minutes. Calling it now. But yeah, two straight nights.
Dude, 12 minutes is too long for two games.
Two straight nights that a Syracuse Mets starter strikes out 10 in five innings after Christian Scott does it on Wednesday night. And, you know, Dom Hamill, after a rough first start at AAA, bounces back and shows that, hey, I'm a dude also. And what you love to see about the outing tonight was half of those 10 strikeouts came with the changeup. And with Dom, the velo is there with the four-seam fastball, and the slider was one of his big weapons last year. Him putting that changeup on display is what's most exciting for me, proving that it's a solid third weapon. He threw five different pitches on the night as well. And also a fun note here, this was a rematch between him and Richard Fitz of Game 2 of the Eastern League Division Series round last year, when Fitz was still a member of the Yankee organization. He was traded over in the Alex Verdugo trade. Dom Hamill outdueled Fitz that night. By the way, Fitz led the Eastern League, I believe, in strikeouts last year, and he outduels him again. And like you mentioned, game was on SNY, so that's awesome that Mets fans that enjoyed the victory on Thursday afternoon got a little taste of the future with the game on SNY, and they saw quite a performance by our guy, Dom Hamill.
Yeah, I mean, Dom Hamill's the main thing to talk about in this game. There was some stuff on the other side of the plate. I mean, Luis Angel Acuña had a hit, batted in a run, so just exciting to see that. But I really don't think we have much to say outside of just Dom Hamill coming out and just having a fantastic start, right?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. It's huge for his psyche. It's huge for a lot of reasons. You know, it's a long baseball season, and eventually all teams need to go into their minor league system to have guys make starts. And it's clear that for the first time in a long time, the Mets don't just have options at the AAA level, but they have good options at the AAA level. And that's what good teams do. You look at the Dodgers, they always seem to come up with more and more options with young guys. And at the end of the show, we'll kind of talk about what's going to happen over the weekend and some of the guys slated to pitch. And there are so many exciting arms. We say it over and over and over again. You probably think, John and Vito, you're repeating yourself, but hey, it's the truth. There is a wealth of arms, a wealth of talent on the pitching side throughout the organization at all levels. And like I said, it's what good teams do. They replenish, they stock, they pump. Eventually it reaches the major leagues and you have a new crop coming right behind. And that's exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people last year were saying, oh, where's all the Mets pitching? Where's all the Mets pitching? Because like you said, I think they were confused that those guys weren't at the AAA level last year. But it just goes to show you, you take your time, you let guys develop. Now it just seems like the Mets are just overloaded with pitching talent. I mean, there's really no reason to harp on this. We say the same thing every single night, and we end up just repeating each other, like John said, like I'm saying. It's just a vicious cycle. But the point is, we got arms. Yes, we do. Let's talk about the PSL Mets game. Not a pretty night for St. Lucie.
We can always find positives here on Future of Flushing, and it's not spin. It's just the truth. And one of those is Jesus Baez, who continued to just hit the crap out of the ball, had a couple batted balls over 100 miles an hour, including a double at 106.4. And that's been routine for Baez, who was hit into some hard luck, as we've said, but the process is great. He, right in the middle of that St. Lucie lineup, is a big bat, and he's really, really showing off why talent evaluators were so high on him. And also want to shout out Jack Weninger, who came in. He was the last pitcher out of the bullpen for the St. Lucie Mets on Thursday night, and he struck out 8 of the 14 guys he faced. So that jumps out at you if you look at the box score in the 11-6 loss for the St. Lucie Mets. A positive there. Marco Vargas also had a hit. Love talking about Marco Vargas. Such a good, sound, fundamental player. Came over in the David Robertson deal. He had an RBI. His hit was 102 off the bat. So some positives for sure from the St. Lucie Mets. And the other two affiliates, Binghamton, Brooklyn, they were both stymied by the rain, as kind of just the way it goes. So the player development system heads into an exciting weekend. And we say that because there are some big pitchers that will be in action this weekend for the Rumble Ponies. Wander Suarez in his 23 consecutive scoreless innings. He'll go against the Erie Seawolves on Friday. Felipe De La Cruz coming off his strong first start with the Cyclones. He'll go against Asheville, of course, weather pending. And Saul Garcia, if you listened last year, you know, the cousin of Wilmer Flores. He'll pitch as well. And then over the weekend, Rumble Ponies will play a doubleheader. Luis Moreno will pitch one of those games. The Cyclones will play a doubleheader on Saturday. There will be a lot of baseball. Oh, Vito, this episode on Sunday is going to be like an hour. It's going to be a lot.
We'll let it. But I think that's one that we should throw up on YouTube.
Yep. We'll see. I mean, there's going to be a lot of talking on Sunday, I can tell you that. But there's also going to be a lot of strikeouts in Asheville because Calvin Ziegler is going to pitch one of those two games for the Cyclones. And Austin Tresor is going to pitch for the St. Lucie Mets as he gets it going in 2024. And he's going to go up against Noble Meyer, the number one prospect in the Marlins system, according to MLB Pipeline. So that'll be exciting to see a good prospect, and especially to see how some of the young bats with the St. Lucie Mets line up. And then on Sunday, you got more big names. Blade Tidwell goes for the Rumble Ponies coming off his strong season debut. Brandon Sproat's going to go for the Cyclones, making his second start. So we were not lying when we said there is a lot of good stuff, good action going on over the weekend. And I'm excited to talk about it, Vito.
This is like a first round of the NFL playoffs amount of games coming up for us this weekend.
Just locked in. And it's a big series at Citi Field as well. If you heard me at the Apple, Doc Gooden having his number retired on Sunday, as you guys all know by now. Mets welcoming the Royals to town. The Royals are off to a great start. Of course, the Mets take 2-3 in Atlanta. So, hey, there's a lot of excitement. Got Rangers-Islanders on Saturday. That's going to be wild. That's a 12:30 start. So I kind of don't like that, honestly. I don't like
you
that
can
at all.
Listen to that on Flushing on Ice, our hockey podcast that will be on the Mets Podcast Network.
We got to talk more Knicks, right?
Yeah, the problem is neither of us really keep up with the Knicks that much, and we're not frauds.
That's true. You know what? That's true, and that's good. And I think everyone should appreciate that. We're passionate what we're passionate about. So there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, it's gonna be a big meaty episode on Sunday. Hopefully a lot of good stuff to report. I'm sure there will be. I mean, I got excited just looking at all the probables over the weekend. What were you about to say?
I was going to say, I think we both have said, though, we did both have like big Knicks phases at different points in our lives. But just right now, it's busy. We do a minor league podcast every single night.
Yeah, my Knicks phase was when I was in college out of state. And I feel like my New York fandom had a big spike, like, you know, just being from the East Coast out in the Midwest and everyone was Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. So I just kind of felt more pride being from New York. And, you know, that was also when the Knicks had Melo. It was more exciting. Not that this is not an exciting time, but I've always said, I think it's really difficult to love a hockey team and a basketball team just because, like, you only have so much attention and have so much attention and energy that you can focus on a team in the winter. And, you know, like, they also play on the same nights a lot at the same time. And I'm not saying you can't have two screens. You know, I watch on my laptop, the iPad. Some people have awesome two TV setups, and there's ways to do it. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. You know, I like giving up my all to one thing instead of parsing it up and spreading it around. It's just not, unless it's Mets minor league baseball. I love all the affiliates. We love all the affiliates here.
That's different, though, because it's technically all part of one parent organization, no, one parent company. So, like,
just wait till I start talking Hartford Wolfpack. I'm kidding. I won't do that.
And because, like, with minor league baseball, like, you're not really watching scores. You're watching players. So it's just so different.
Yeah.
Like, we're not sitting here, like, following. I mean, actually, we were really following the Rumble Ponies playoff push last year. So that's not even 100% accurate. But did I ever tell you about when I watched, because so you were in college, we were in college at the same time, like a year apart. So you were there for the Bulls Heat playoff matchup in like 2011, right? Like you were in college at that point.
Spring of 2011, I was in college. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was in Chicago. I was actually there to go see the Mets play the Cubs, and then I went to Milwaukee and I went to Sox Park. And I ended up watching a playoff game in Bill Wennington's house.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I think he went to St. John's.
Okay. Well, I watched it in his house. We had a mutual friend. I ended up just being in his basement watching the game, right next to like all the folding chairs from the finals he was in. There was a McDonald's Beef Wellington sign.
That's
Beef
funny.
Wellington sign. So just like my, like, it's all I associate with Chicago now. But we've covered everything.
I got one last thing before you go. You can't sign off yet. I know. We got to get this in. Our biggest fan is celebrating his bachelor party this weekend in the Florida Keys. I wish I was able to go. Mets are home this weekend. Not going to work out. He promised me that he and the boys would be pre-gaming, just blasting Future of Flushing. So happy bachelor party, and I'll see you at the wedding in May. Not too far from now.
Yo, can you start the group chat? I've been begging you to start with him. I'm just going to put that on the podcast so he's aware that I've wanted this to happen.
It's better to live in suspense, but yeah. So I will know if he listens, because he'll bring this up, and if not, then it's all good. But
nah, if he brings it up, just start the group chat.
He's a great Met fan, and he's a great fan of Mets minor league baseball as well. He knows his stuff, and he's getting married pretty soon. So just wanted to get that in there. Now play the music.